All right, so we'll say good morning. All right, so today's daf is daf ches. So we left off on daf zayin amud beis, v'har yovlos, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines off the bat. So again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So the Gemara asked, why is it that we do not include the Rosh Hashanah, the new year, so to speak, for the Omer, which is on the second day of Pesach, and the Shtei Alechem, which is on Shavuos. So the Gemara gave a series of different answers, but now the Gemara is up to v'har yovlos. What about the Yovel? So, I'm sorry, the last answer the Gemara gave is that we only count a Rosh Hashanah that begins when? That begins the night before. But Rosh Hashanah that do not begin the night before, but only begin that morning, that we do not count. So, for example, the Omer and Shtei Alechem only begin that day, that morning, after the Karban is offered. And therefore, the Maaseh, they're not counted. The Gemara says, I, Bahari Yovelos, Dilochelini Arta. I, but what about the Yovel, which does not begin at night? Because essentially, Imar is making over here is that the Yovel only occurs after the shofar is, or only begins after the shofar is sounded, and that's only done during the day. And yet again, Yovel doesn't start until daytime, and yet again, the Mishnah discusses the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel. So this reflects if you are the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, who said, know that in fact, Yovel actually begins from the beginning of the year. That as soon as the calendrical new year starts, Yovel starts as well, even before the blowing of the shofar. So the Gemara says, Rav Shisha b'rei Rav Ida Amar, ki kachashiv, midi de lo tali b'maisa. Midi de tali b'maisa lo kachashiv. Which now, another answer as to why the Rosh Hashanah of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem are not included is because we only include things that do not require an action to initiate them. But something that requires an action to initiate them, we don't include. So if you look at all the Rosh Hashanah in the Mishnah, they just occur, as opposed to Omer and Shtei Alechem, which require an action, in this case, a sacrificial action, in order to begin them. To which the Gemara says, I have a hari regalim midi detali b'maisa v'kachashiv. But the Gemara says, one second. The Mishnah said that Nisan, specifically Pesach, is the Rosh Hashanah for regalim. And we already established that what that means is that is the Rosh Hashanah for Baal Ta'acher. It's when you violate again if you did not bring your Karbanos for delaying. And we assume that when does that Baal Ta'acher kick in? Only after the Karban Tamid of the morning of Yom Tov is offered. Because at that point in time, you're in violation of Baal Ta'acher. And yet that's a Maisa. To which the Gemara says, no, Baal Ta'acher and Meil Lachayil. It's not true. Baal Ta'acher really occurs by itself. It does not require the initiation of the Tamid. Rashi says, Meil Lachayil Mishakide Shayom. As soon as it becomes Yom Tov, specifically Pesach, you are in violation of Baal Ta'acher, even before the morning Tamid is offered. I, Tap of Ches, Vahari Yovlos. I, what about Yovel? So the assumption also is that Yovel requires a Maisa with the blowing of the shofar. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokhi. This reflects the view of Rabbi Shmuel ben son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokhi, who holds that in fact the Yovel begins as soon as the Yom Tov begins, even without the blowing of the shofar. Rav Ashi says the following: Arba Roshei Hashanim. In reality, there are four new years. Shehin ba'arba Roshei Chadashim. That what? These four new years occur on the first of four different months. So the Gemara says, wow, that's an interesting statement, because Be'echad B'Shvat Kibei Shamai. Now, when Rav Ashi makes a statement like that, what he's saying is, he's also weighing in on a very important machlokus. Remember, again, the last Rosh Hashanah mentioned in the Mishnah was what? Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, Rosh Hashanah for trees. And remember, again, Beis Shamai said that it's on Rosh Chodesh, and Beis Hillel said that it's on Tu B'Shvat. Right, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and Beis Hillel says that it's on the 15th of Shvat. When Rav Ashi says that the four Rosh Hashanah occur in Rosh Chodesh, he seems to be siding with Beis Shammai, which of course is very dramatic, because normally the halacha follows Beis Hillel. To which the Gemara says no. To which the Gemara says Hachi Kamer Shlosh LaDivrei Hakol. Rav Ashi is like this: there are three of those Rosh Hashanah that everyone agrees occur on the first of the month. The Echad B'Shvat, Machlokes B'Shan B'Sel, that fourth Rosh Hashanah, right, that's in Shvat. So again, it's a Machlokes between B'Shamai and B'Sel. Fine. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Omrim, the Echad B'Tishrei. So we'll say, if you remember again, in the Mishnah, we had a Machlokes about the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema, right, for tithing animals. So here again, and remember, I think I mentioned this yesterday, this idea of tithing animals is you could only tithe animals from a cohort that was born in the same period. So obviously you need a beginning point and an end point. So the first opinion of the Mishnah said that that Elul is Rav Shan from Ma'aser Behema, and Rav Elazar B'Shimah said no, it's not Elul, it's Tishrei. It's Tishrei. So it says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnehem Mikra Echad Darshu. In reality, both the Tanakhama as well as Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Darshan the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? It's quoting over here a pasuk from Tehillim. Lavshu Karim Hatzon. Literally, it means the sheep became clothed. Now, also, the sheep became clothed is a metaphor for pregnancy. Pregnancy, right? The sheep became pregnant. When do the sheep become pregnant? Va'amokim yatfu var. Literally, the valleys are covered. Bar literally means fodder. What it means over here is vegetation. So when the valleys become covered with vegetation, Yisro'o af yashiru. They will shout out and they will even sing. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Lav shukar matzon, mikruhu b'sefer tehillim, Lav shukar matzon, ba'amakim yatu var, Yisro'o af yashiru, Lav shukar matzon, mislab shosak vasim, shemis abros. Literally, the sheep become fat or they can become clothed. Why? Because they're pregnant. Ya'atfu bar. What does it mean? The valleys become covered with bar with fodder. Shazria somachas v'nikaras yafa. That the vegetation begins to sprout and grow beautifully. Next, Rashi. Yisro'o af yashiru. What does it mean? They'll shout out and even sing. Benison kesheyagia zman hakatzir. V'hatvua v'kashim shela. When it's Nisan, and again, the wheat is in its chaff. V'haruach min hasheves v'hin nokshim ze al ze. Nishma hakol v'nira kimishoreres. This is interesting. What this refers to is that when Nisan comes and the standing grain is still there, what happens? The stalks hit each other, hit against each other, and make like a singing type of shouting type of sound. Okay? So therefore the Gemara says like this. So what does that have to do with anything? Rabbi Meir is the Tanakhama. So the Tanakhama holds that, remember, Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behema is when? Is Elul. So Tanakhama holds a Masai Lav Shukarim Atzon, that David Melch is teaching us such an important idea. When do the sheep become pregnant? Bizman Shema'akim Yatfu Bar. When the valleys become covered with vegetation. And the Masai Amokim Yatfu Bar. When do the valleys become covered with vegetation? Ba'adr. They become covered with vegetation in the month of Adar. Therefore, Misabros Ba'adr. So the sheep become pregnant in Adar. V'yoldos ba'av, apparently the gestational period of an animal is about 5 months. So they become pregnant in Adar, they give birth in Av, and therefore, Rosh Hashanah shelohen Elul. Therefore, I will say it makes sense that Elul, if the animals normally give birth in Av, so again, any animals born during that time, again, one cohort, and Elul begins a new year. Rabbi Elazar and Shimon say the following. They dashen it differently. Emosai lav shukar matzom. When do the sheep become pregnant? Bizman sheyisro'o af yashiru. When the grains will literally shout out and sing. When is that? Emosai shibolim omros shira. When do the sheaves sing their shira, so to speak? Meaning, when, like Rashi explained, are they tall enough and strong enough that they're flapping back and forth, hitting against each other and making noise? Benisan, that occurs in Nisan. Therefore, Dar HaMelech is telling us the sheep become pregnant in Nisan. V'yoldos be'elul, give birth in Elul, and therefore, Rosh Hashanah shalahen Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei. So the Gemara says, now, so therefore, what we see over here is both Rabbi Meir, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, as well as Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, are dashing the same pasuk. Because here's what the pasuk tells us. The pasuk tells us three things. The pasuk connects the pregnancy of the sheep to the valleys becoming filled with vegetation and to the fields becoming filled with produce, with grain. Now, interestingly enough, those things happen in different times. So when do the valleys become covered with vegetation? In Adar. When do the crops sing and shout out? That's Nisan. So interestingly enough, each opinion is linking the pregnancy of the sheep to another one of these agricultural events, which are a month off from one another. Therefore, again, what they're saying is the sheep give birth at different times. Depending on the sheep give birth, Lemaisa determines when you're going to establish the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, V'idach nami haksiv Yisrael af yashiru. So What does Rabbi Meir do with Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon's drasha about Yisrael af yashiru? So hahu ba'afalta. This refers to, if you look at ba'afalta, yesh lechatzon ha'ma'atifos u'ma'achros. That refers ultimately to sheep who give birth later. V'idach nami haksiv ba'amokim yatfu bar. Aye, but the second opinion, Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, what do they do with Rabbi Meir's drasha about amakim yatfu bar, about the valleys becoming covered with vegetation, which puts the pregnancy at Adar? Hahu bechar fiyasa. That refers to sheep that become pregnant early. Now I will say again, obviously, what's happening over here is, you could just say, why don't you just go out and just see when the sheep become pregnant? Obviously, what's being reflected over here is, first of all, there are different things that are happening. I just want to point out something fascinating to you. He says, let me just finish this down. I'll tell you something fascinating. I know it's going to keep you on the edge of your seat. You're going to wonder, what am I going to share with you? I baruch b'chav yasa da asyan me'adar, that become pregnant in adar. So the Gemara says, bishlam Rabbi Meir ki dichsev lav shukarim atzon, bizman shema akim yatfu bar. So both say, the pasuk is set up well according to Rabbi Meir. Why? Because according to Rabbi Meir, the two important phrases are juxtaposed one to the other. The according to Rabbi Meir, what David HaMelech is saying is, when do the sheep become pregnant? Look at the next phrase. At the time that the valleys are covered with vegetation, which is Adar. Therefore, again, they become pregnant in Adar. They give birth in Av. Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behema is Elul. Therefore, again, V'ikanami Yisrao Af Yashiru. And then what's the last phrase? The last phrase is David HaMelech telling us that, but, oh, and just know, there are some sheep that become pregnant a little bit later when the crops go ahead and sing and shout out. And when is that? That's in Nisan. Elav Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon ipcha miboyle. But Rabbi Elazar according to Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who link the first part of the pasuk, love shukarim atzon bizman she yisrao af yashiru v'ikanam. I'm sorry. Elav Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon ipcha miboyle. According to Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who hold what? That when do the sheep become pregnant? They look at the last phrase of the pasuk, right? Yisrao af yashiru. When do they become pregnant? When does she become pregnant? When the crops cry out and sing. So according to them, the pasuk is arranged in out of order, because really that last phrase Yisrao af yashiru should have what? Should have been juxtaposed to the first phrase of Lav Shukarim. So the Gemara says, and then the phrase of the valleys become covered with vegetation should have been the last phrase, because that refers to the sheep that become pregnant a little bit earlier. Rather, Rava says like this. So therefore, Rava says, you're right. Let's go back to the drawing board. Everyone agrees. I will say, here, I'll tell you the interesting thing. You know, David, if there was someone who knew the habits of sheep, it was who? It was David HaMelech. Right? David HaMelech spent what in David's estimation were his most important years, shepherding. So David HaMelech, this is not just like poetic. This is David HaMelech sharing the experiences of his youth with us, the reader. So therefore, the Gemara says the line, Rava says like this, you're right. In reality, when do the sheep become pregnant? When the valleys become covered with vegetation. And when is that? Adar. So everyone agrees that the sheep become pregnant in Adar. I will say, if the sheep become pregnant, you're going to be mumchim in this by the time we're finished with this. Okay, so you never know. You never know when it's going to help you. So the Gemara says the following. So now again, remember, let's go through this. If the sheep are becoming pregnant in Adar, then when are they giving birth? Av. Right. So what happens if they give birth in Av? Then when is Rosh Hashanah? Elul. So we'll say, okay, fine. So if you're telling me now that everybody subscribes to that understanding of the pasuk, then why do Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon disagree in the Mishnah and say that Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behema is on Tishrei? To which the Gemara says, oh, v'hacha b'hai kra kimiflagi. The truth is, the machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Meir is not about this pasuk in Tehillim, it's about a different pasuk. What's the pasuk? Aser ta aser. The pasuk says, you shall tithe all of your grain, hayotzi asad, that comes from the field, shana shana, each and every year. Now the fact that the Torah uses a double lashon of aser ta aser tells us what? that the Torah is referring to two different tithes. B'shnei ma'aser sakasa medaber. Torah is talking about two different tithes. Echad ma'aser behema, ve'echad ma'aser dogon. One is talking about an animal tithe, and one is talking about a grain tithe. So boss, I say now what we see over here is that ma'aser behema is connected, is halachically linked to ma'aser dogon, to grain tithes. So what does the linkage do for us? Rabbi Meir, Sav, Rabbi Meir holds, I've also remember, Rabbi Meir is the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, who says that what? When is Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema? It's Elul. Okay, so Rabbi Meir holds, Rabbi Meir, Sav, Makish Meiser Behema, Le Meiser Dagon. So Rabbi Meir holds that we link Meiser Behema, animal tithe, to grain tithe. How so? Ma Meiser Dagon, Samoch Legomro, Isuro. Just like Rabbi Meir when it comes to Meiser Dagon. So when do we go ahead and when do we tithe our grain? At the time that the growth is completed. Right? So tithing takes place for grain at the time that the growth is completed. Av Meiser Behema, Somoch Legomro Isuro. So too for Meiser Behema, when do we go ahead and tithe animals? At the time when their growth is completed. What does it mean growth is completed? When they're born. So when are animals born and according to this model? When are they born? When do animals, sheep give birth? In Elul. Therefore, again, what's the time for Meiser Behema? I'm sorry, when do they give birth? Excuse me, in Av. Right? Therefore, what's the time for Meiser Behema? Elul. Okay. Rabbi Lezer said, that's Rabbi Meir. Therefore, and that's the view reflected in our Mishnah, that the connection between Meiser Dagon and Meiser Behema teaches you that, look at Rashi for just a moment, Meiser Dagon Samoch Legimaro Isuro. So just like when it comes to grain tithes, so the obligation to tithe comes at the time when the crop is complete. Rosh Hashanah LeMeisros Tishrei. Supposed to be established this, that when is Rosh Hashanah for tithing? Meaning when do you have to really get your tithes done by? Tishrei. Why Tishrei? Because we'll say Tishrei was when what? Tishrei was when people would bring in their crops from the field. They left it out during the summertime to dry. So comes Tishrei, the crops are complete. Therefore, at the times when the crops are complete, that's when you have to tithe. So too, Aser to Aser teaches you that just like with grain crops, you have to tithe from your grain when the product is complete. So too, you have to tithe from your animals when the animal is complete. When is the animal complete? Well, if it's born ultimately again in Av, then the time that you should take the Meiser from it is Elul. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and that's the opinion of our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Savri, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon on the other hand say, Makish Meiser Behema the Meiser Dogon. They agree. The Aser to Aser teaches us that you should go ahead and compare grain tithe to animal tithe. And they say the following, simpler, Ma Meiser Dagon, Rosh Hashanah Shelo Tishrei. They make the comparison in a more absolute way, that just like for Meiser Dagon, when do we go ahead and when is the Rosh Hashanah for their Meiser? Tishrei. At Meiser Behema, Rosh Hashanah Shelo Tishrei. So too. Again, for Meiser Behema, the Rosh Hashanah for, bless you, is Tishrei. I will say, we paskin, like Rabbi Meir, like the Tanakam in the Mishnah, and the Rambam codifies that the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema is in fact Elul. Okay, weiter. Be'echa b'tishrei Hashanah l'shanah. So I will say, the Mishnah said that on the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah 4 years. So the Gemara says, l'may hilchasa. What does that mean? That the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for years. Pretty practically, what's the ramification of that? So the Gemara says, I'm Rapapa l'shtaras. Oh, Rapapa, so you know what it has to do with? It has to do with dating of shtaras. Dating of shtaras. So how you have to know? When do you change the date of a particular shtar? Tishrei. So the Gemara says, 1 second. This nan, shtari chov, hamukdamin psulim, hamuach, v'hamu'ucharin k'shirin. Also, we learn this in Shabbos, it's not in the first half of Rosh Hashanah, that we learn that what? Pre-dated documents are puzzle, post-dated documents are kosher. Again, we spoke about this extensively on Shabbos. We're not going to go through it again. But quickly, the idea is that a pre-dated shtar creates a false encumbrance, a false lien against a debtor's property. Therefore, such a shtar is not good. On the other hand, a post-dated shtar will be okay because the only person it compromises is who? Is the lender. And if the lender chooses to accept that being compromised, that's his prerogative. Therefore, again, the system by which you date shtaros is exceptionally important. But 1 second, we already learned that the first of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. And we said, what does that mean that it's Rosh Hashanah for kings? What's the practical ramification of that? And Rav Chista said, the ramification of that is what? Is for shtaros. So which one is it? So meaning Rabbi said, what the Mishnah seems to be telling us is that Lemaisa, there are two different Rosh Hashanah for Shtaros. There's Nisan and there's Tishrei. to which the Gemara says, Lo kasha, lo kasha, kan lemalchei Yisrael, kan lemalchei umosal. So also, this is the answer we gave beforehand. It's not a contradiction, because what does it mean? Remember, the dating always goes according to the monarchy. So Jewish monarchy is counted from Nisan, although we saw it's not just Jewish monarchy. It's Jewish monarchy and what? And righteous Gentile monarchs as well. And again, non-Jewish monarchs or non-righteous Gentile monarchs, their monarchies are counted from Tishrei. So in reality, again, we do have two different dating systems for monarchies, to which the Gemara says, Ela had am Rav Chista, but yet that which Rav Chista said, Lo shana el lemalchei Yisrael, aval lemalchei umos olam mitishrei maninan. So also remember, Rav Chista gave this whole chiddush. Rav Chista is the one who advanced this on base, on daf base, that no, it's not a contradiction, because Rosh Hashanah of Nisan is for Malchei Yisrael. The Rosh Hashanah for Tishrei is for Malchei Umos HaOlam. Rav Chista mas Nisan asa lashmina. So was Rav Chista just coming to teach us a din that is now we know is stated explicitly in the Mishnah? Lo, Rav Chista kroy asa lashmina. The truth is Rav Chista, remember Rav Osai, Rav Chista's discussion, or Rav Chista's statement, initiated a whole discussion in the Gemara that brought down a whole series of psukim. So the point of Rav Chista was really to bring scriptural proofs to this whole idea. The same other possibility is Rav Chista k'Rabbi Zera masnila, that Rav Chista actually holds a Rabbi Zera, who says what? The Rabbi Zera amr l'tikufa. That in fact, Rav Osai, that Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for seasons. That, bless you. That according to Rav Chista, he holds like Rabbi Zera, that Lemaisa, again, is the Rosh Hashanah for Tekufos for seasons. Okay. Rabbi Lazar, he dhamar, because Rabbi Lazar is the opinion who says, B'tishrei nivra ha'olam. I will say, this is going to be a fundamental machlokas. We're going to speak about it in just a couple of days. Fascinating machlokas as to when was the world created. Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that the world was created in Tishrei. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar ledin. I will say, listen to this. So now, I will say, so what we're trying to figure out is, what exactly does it mean when it says that Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Shanim? So first answer, number one, is this the first answer for Shanim for who? For Gentile monarchs. For Gentile monarchs. Second possibility is that it's the Rosh Hashanah for seasons. Third possibility is the Rosh Hashanah for the creation of the world. The world was created in Tishrei. Fourth possibility, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar ledin. That Rosh Hashanah, excuse me, that Tishrei, Aleph Tishrei, is the new year for judgment. The new year for judgment. I both say, how do we know? Dichsiv, Mereshis Hashanah v'ad Acharis Hashanah. The Pasuk says, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year, and we darshan from this, Mereshis Hashanah nidon ma'yehei b'sofa. I both say, the way the world works is that in the beginning of the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges and determines what is going to be at the end of the year. Or in other words, that again, from the beginning of the year is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes judgment, and those judgments create realities for the entire year. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? So Mimai, so how do we know, Mimai, the Tishrei, how do we know that this new year for Din is Tishrei? Because we're supposed to remember, interestingly enough, one of the fascinating, we'll call it scriptural ambiguities, is that Rosh Hashanah is not mentioned as a Yom HaDin in the Torah. It's mentioned. It's called the Yom Trua, right? But it's not called the Day of Judgment. So how do we know? So here's what we know. Well, here's what we darshan. Mereisha Hashanah v'ad Acharis Hashanah teaches us that at the beginning of the year, God judges the world, and that judgment determines what will unfold over the course of the year. How do we know that that beginning refers to the month of Tishrei? To which the Gemara says, "Dichsev Tmimai de Tishrei." Listen to this. Dichsev Tiku b'chodesh Shofar. Because the Pasuk in Tehillim says, blow, tiku b'chodesh shofar, blow during the month of shofar, b'kes liyom chageinu, on the Yom Tov that is hidden. On the Yom Tov that is hidden. So the Gemara says, eizehu chag shachodesh miskaseh bo. They both say, what is the month in which the moon is hidden? Shachodesh miskaseh bo. Sahavi omer zeh Rosh Hashanah. They both say, interestingly enough, remember, every other Yom Tov either occurs, again, Pesach and Sukkot occur mamish in the middle of the month. Shavuos is not middle of the month, but again, it's the Mechlokes when Shavuos is, but at least, again, the moon is visible. What is the only, and of course Yom Kippur again is the 10th of the month, what is the only Yom Tov for which the moon is not visible? Havi Omer Zer Rosh Hashanah. So both say, listen, this is going to be a multi-step drasha. So again, remember, the first part of it is, Tiku B'chodesh Shofar, when will you blow the shofar? on the Yom Tov that is hidden. What's the Yom Tov that's hidden? And the Gemara understand the hidden part refers to the moon. What's the only Yom Tov on which the moon is hidden? Zer Rosh Hashanah. Fine. Uksiv, and what does it say after that? Ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat leloke Yaakov. Because it is a statute for Israel, mishpat, a day of justice for the God of Yaakov. So we'll say again, what do you see from there? You see from there that when does judgment take place? When is mishpat leloke Yaakov? When does that happen? Bakesel yom chagenu. On the hidden Yom Tov. What is the hidden Yom Tov? Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi will say again, so now if you link all three of these things together, here's what happens. The Torah tells us, Nireishis Hashanah Bad Achris Hashanah, which tells us what? There is a day of judgment in which all that is going to happen during the year is determined. But yet what? What doesn't the Torah tell us? What day that is. Come along David HaMelech and Tehillim, and gives us an allusion to this and says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar. You'll blow the shofar on the day one, b'kestim chaginu, on the day that is hidden. Okay, what day is hidden? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Because remember, the Torah tells us that the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, that we know. So it's Rosh Hashanah. And what happens on that day? Ki chok li Yisrael, there's a statute for Israel. What's the statute? Mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. That ultimately, again, it is a day of judgment at the hand of God. This teaches us that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin. So the Gemara gives other drashas. Tan Rabbanam, ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. What does it mean? It's a statute of Israel. Mishpat, judgment for the God of Yaakov. Melamed, this is actually fascinating. Shein Beizdin Shamala nichnasan l'din. That Beizdin Shamala does not begin to judge the world. Ele imkein kirchu Beizdin Shalmata es hachodesh. Unless, of course, what Rabbi say? Unless, of course, Beizdin Shalmata, the earthly court, has declared the new month. But the Gemara is dashing over here is, Kichok li Yisrael, who first Yisrael has to perform their statute. What's their statute? They have to declare the new month, and only afterwards, what? Mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. Only afterwards does the Ribono Shel Olam sit in judgment. We'll say, just as an aside, you know, so often we think we're powerless in this world to accomplish things, and what's amazing is we're not. Very often, again, we control so much more than we think. We control what happens. We even control the Ribono Shel Olam in certain ways. What the Gemara is saying over here is that L'maisa, the Ribono Shel Olam can't do his part until we do ours. An incredible yisod on so many levels. And anyway, the Gemara goes back to Tanya Idach. We have another braisa. Ki chok li Yisrael hu. It's a statute for the Jewish people. Ainli ela li Yisrael. And I will say, here's what's interesting. You see, we will see later on, we're going to get, I'm just giving you coming attractions, that we're going to see some beautiful agarata in Maseches Rosh Hashanah about Rosh Hashanah. All about Rosh Hashanah. And one of the things we're going to highlight is that Rosh Hashanah is not just the day of judgment for the Jewish people, it's a universal day of judgment. So here's the problem, says the Gemara. If it's a universal day of judgment, the pasuk that you're referring to over here in Tehillim only references what? Judgment for the Jewish people, right? What about Lu'uma Sa'ola Minai? What about it that it's a day of judgment for the nations of the world? Talmud Lomar, Mishpat Leloke Yaakov. Oh, because it says that it is a day of judgment, Leloke Yaakov. So what's interesting over here is that what the Gemara seems to be saying is that Lemaisa, the phrase Yisrael refers to Klal Yisrael. Mishpat le'elokei Yaakov seems to be a reference to all of humanity. We'll see why that is. The Gemara says, if that's the case, that Elokei Yaakov means all of humanity, then who else is included in all of humanity? Jewish people. If that's the case, then why do I need the first phrase of Chok Li Yisrael? Im kein, ma tamalav ki Chok Li Yisrael. Oh, listen to this. It's actually scary. Melamed she Yisrael nichnasin tchila ledin. What does it mean, Rabbi Osai? That as much as all of humanity is judged on Rosh Hashanah, Klal Yisrael enters in for judgment first. We go in first. So the Gemara says, Kidrat chista, dam rav chista. So we'll say it's actually interesting. Why do we go in for judgment first? Like Rav Chista says, Melech v'tzibor, Melech nichnas tchila ledin. That Rav Osai, for argument's sake, if there's a king and a congregation and a nation, the king goes in for judgment before the common people. Shnei Amarka, as the pasuk says, Mishpat Avdo or Mishpat Amo. Because the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will adjudicate the justice for his servant and the justice for his nation. So you see from here that again, the more important person goes in for judgment before the common person. Therefore, again, Klal Yisrael goes in for judgment before the nations of the world. My taima, now why is that? Se'i bais ema lav orach ara l'meika malka. So some will say again because l'meika malka avrai. Some will say because again it's not appropriate to keep the king standing outside. It's not appropriate to keep the king. Meaning again, if the king ultimately again has to be judged, he doesn't sit in the waiting room. V'vayseima mikame delefu shcharan apa. The other opinion says before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Meaning what happens is you know the more God has to discipline the nations, the angrier he gets. So the later you come in on that process, God is already kiviyachol frustrated and upset. In order to avoid divine frustration and disgust, we go in first. So either way, it's a benefit for Klal Yisrael. Whether, again, it's a testament to the exalted status of Klal Yisrael, that we are like the king and therefore we are not kept waiting, or in order that the divine wrath be somewhat mitigated in order that we go in first, either way, Klal Yisrael goes in first. So we'll say, what we have successfully demonstrated over here is that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. That Yom HaDin ultimately, again, is Bakes Liyom Chagenu, is on the first of Tishrei, because that is the only Yom Tov where the moon is obscured, and it is a day of judgment both for Klal Yisrael as well as for the nations of the world. The difference is, Klal Yisrael goes in first for judgment. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ule Shmitin. Remember, again, Rosh Hashanah, toward Aleph Tishrei, is also the first, is the beginning of the year for Shemitah. So the Gemara says, Minala, where do we know that from? Dichsiv. Ubishnas hashviyas Shabbos Shabboson Yelaritz. The Pasuk says, on the seventh year, you will have a Shabbos Shabboson for the land. V'gamar Shatna, we'll say again, the rest of the Pasuk is, right, well, the rest of the Pasuk just teaches you about the restrictions of the Shemitah year. So what's the idea? So the Gemara says, Gamar Shana Shana Mitishrei. So we'll say, how do we know that the Shemitah year begins in Tishrei? We make a Gzera Shavav Shana Shana. It says over here, Shana Shriyas. And it says by Tishrei, Dichsiv, Meirei, Rebosa, remember, we've already successfully demonstrated this, Meireishis HaShana. The Pasuk says, Meireishis HaShana by Achris HaShana. Then we now know that refers to what? That refers to Aleph Tishrei. So it says, Shana by Shemitah. It says, Shana by Tishrei. Therefore, again, just like Shana by Tishrei, is Tishrei. So too, Shana by Shemitah is also what? Is Tishrei. To which the Gemara says, V'ligmar Shana Shana mi Nisan. Why don't you make a Gzera Shana between Shemitah and Nisan? It says Shana by Nisan as well. Dichsiv Rishon Hu L'chod She HaShana. Because the Pasuk says over there that it is the first of all months of the year. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Danin Shana She'ini Machadashin. Well, it's the opposite of what we said yesterday. Danin Shana She'ini Machadashin. Mishana She'eni Machadashin. Literally, Rabbi said, when we make a Gzera Shava, we like the two words or the two phrases to be as similar as possible. Therefore, again, the Shana by Shemitah and the Shana by Tishrei make no reference to months. They just make a reference to years. As opposed to the Shana by Nisan makes a reference to what? Makes a reference to months. Therefore, the Gemara says, we would rather compare a shana that does not discuss months to a shana that does not discuss months. Then done in shana she'ini machadashim, mishana she'ishi machadashim, rather than compare a shana that has no mentions of months, i.e. Shemitah, to a shana that does have mentions of months, i.e. Nisan. Fine. Uli Yovlos, next. Remember again, the Mishnah said that Tishrei is the shana for Yovel. To which the Gemara says, Yovlos be'echa b'tishreihu. Is that true that Yovel begins on the first of Tishrei? B'yud b'tishrehu. It's not true. When does Yovel begin, Rabbi Osai? Yovel begins, in fact, on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, because the Pasuk says, B'yom HaKippurim te'aviru shofar. Because also the Pasuk explicitly says that what? That on Yom Kippur, you blow the shofar, and that's when Yovel begins. Ta'aviru shofar b'chol artzichem. Yovel begins on the 10th. Well, it's actually quite interesting. Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Shmuel ben Rosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. This affects the view of Rabbi Shmuel ben Rosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, who said what? Decide, listen to this. This is really fascinating. Dechsev, v'ki dashtem eshnasa hamishim shana. You shall sanctify the 50th year. Ma Talmud lomar, what does this pasuk teach us? Lefish she'ne'emar b'yom kippurim. So also we have a little bit of a contradiction. On one hand, the pasuk says, you shall sanctify the 50th year. Now, what does that sound like when it says you shall sanctify the 50th year? When does Yovel begin? Rosh Hashanah, right? If it says you should sanctify the 50th year, so we assume the entire 50th year is sanctified, which means sanctification begins on Rosh Hashanah. Yet, on the other hand, yet the Torah also says what? That on Yom Kippur is when you sound the shofar. Talmud Lomar, Vikidashta Mishnasa Chamishim, Melamed Mishamiskadeshes Volachas Mitchilas. So both say we seem to have contradictory limudim. On one hand, the Torah tells me you shall sanctify the 50th month, which tells me, 50th year, which tells you that really Yovel begins at Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, this pasuk explicitly says that when does Yovel begin? When you blow the shofar on Yom Kippur. So which one is supposed to say this is going to blow you away? Mikan Am Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch. From here, Rabbi Shmuel, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, said the following. Listen to it, get ready. May Rosh Hashanah by Yom Kippur. So we'll say, when does Yovel begin? When does Yovel begin? Rosh Hashanah. But it doesn't fully take effect until when? Until Yom Kippur. So watch this. This is amazing. Amazing. Three words. Amazing. May Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim lo hayu avadim niftarim lebateihem v'lo mishtabim. Rabbi say, came Rosh Hashanah the 50th year. Remember, what's the big thing that happens? Two major things happen. Number one, slaves go free and land is returned. So comes Rosh Hashanah, slaves, servants, would not go home because, again, they don't go home until Yom Kippur, but they also would not be working. Because, again, technically, you can't be in servitude. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah, so I'm in like limbo. So Yovel began, but yet again, it hasn't fully taken effect. So what do they do? Lo Mishnah Adonai, they don't work for their masters. Ella, Ochlin, Vishosin, Usmechin. Rather, what do? They eat, they drink, and they're merry. V'atarosein barashayim. Literally, they're wearing their crowns. Rashi says, what does it mean they're wearing their crowns? Imratza losum atara barosho, laharoshi yatza chavshi. If he wants to put a crown on his head to show that he's no longer a servant, he's permitted to do that. So we'll say that's what happens between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now we'll say, understand, right? So now they're free. They're free men, and they are celebrating their freedom. What happens? Kevin she'egiyah Yom Kippur, once Yom Kippur comes, taku beizdin b'shofar, beizdin blows the shofar, and therefore, niftiru avadim lebateihen. And what happens? We'll say, the avadim go home, v'sados chozrin leba'aleihem. And the fields return to their owners. So we'll say, this is how Rabbi Shmuel, son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, reconciles these two conflicting ideas. Yovel begins on Rosh Hashanah, so meaning the servants don't work, but it doesn't fully take effect until Yom Kippur. Once the shofar is blown on Yom Kippur, that's when servants go home, that's when land reverts back to its owner. It's amazing. It must have been an amazing sight to see. V'rabbanan, the rabbis on the other hand, what do they hold? Shanim ata mekadesh, vi'i ata mekadesh chadashim. They both say, the Rabbanon learn out something else. The Rabbanon understand that l'maisa, Yovel doesn't really start until Yom Kippur. So what does it mean when it says, v'kidashnim esnashnasa chamishim shana? According to Rabbanon, what that teaches us is that Beis Din sanctifies that year. They both say, the Rabbanon have a very interesting sheet. If you look at Rashi, she says, will they see this later on Daf Chav Dalid? We're going to see there's an opinion later on who holds that there is no such concept as Kiddush HaChodesh, that the month becomes sanctified on its own, even without Beis Din's involvement. So the Rabbanon hold of that sheet, and the Rabbanon therefore says there's no real concept of Kiddush HaChodesh. The only time that something is sanctified is when Yovel. Yovel is the one exception. That 50th year is when the Beis Din makes a declaration sanctifying the year. Therefore, according to the Rabbanon, what unfolds over here is the following. The pasuk says, "Vikidash meshnasa chamishim shana," when the time that Beis Din sanctifies a new year or a new period of time, that's Yovel. But when does Yovel really take effect? Not until Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, "Tanya dech another brisa." Let's just do a few more lines. Another brisa. Yovel hi. The pasuk says it is Yovel. Ma tamul omer. What does it mean? It's Yovel. Since the pasuk says, you shall sanctify the 50th year, I say, you might have said, Rabosai, that in the same way that what? In the same way that in the model of Yovel, what happens? Yovel begins when? Rosh Hashanah. But it doesn't fully take effect until when? Until Yom Kippur. So I might have thought the same way we, so to speak, add on to Yovel, because Yovel doesn't fully take effect to Yom Kippur. We add on Rosh Hashanah, maybe just like I add on the front end, I should add on the back end as well. And therefore, on year 51, perhaps again the Yovel experience extends when? Past Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. The Alta Tama, don't say that's such a crazy idea. Because we know we have the concept of adding on from the weekday onto Yom Tov. Talmud Lomar, I might have thought that the same way I add on to Yovel on the front end, and then I begin it from Rosh Hashanah, even though it doesn't really take effect until Yom Kippur, I should add on the back end as well, and therefore what? And therefore extend Yovel into year 51 until Yom Kippur. Therefore the pasuk says, Tamal Omar, Yovel hi Shnasa Chamish. And therefore the pasuk says, it is Yovel, Yovel is only the 50th year. Shnasa Chamishim Ata Mikadesh. You can only sanctify year 50, but you do not sanctify year 51. Rabbanon, let's just finish this quickly. What did the Rabbanon say? Top of test. Shnas chamishim atamone. The Rabbanon say you count the 50th year. Via tamone shnas chamishim va'achas. The Rabbanon say this comes to teach us that what? That year 50 only counts as year 50 and not 51. What does that mean? Lafuki mid Rabbi Yehuda d'Amar shnas chamishim ole lekan ulekan kamash malan delo. Rabbi said there is an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda which Rashi quotes is an opinion of Maseches that we're not going to get into it now. But Rabbi Yehuda holds Rabbi said that the Yovel year has a dual identity. It is the end of the previous cycle and it also counts as what? As year one of the next cycle. Therefore, the Rabbanon understand that what? That Lamaisa, Yovel hi Shnas HaChamishim comes to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and to teach us that what? No, the Yovel year is the 50th year and that is it. It does not serve a dual identity. It's only year 50 and not year one of the next cycle. And then we'll stop over here. In Eretz Hashem, we're going to do the daf again tomorrow afternoon. Just stay tuned for the time in the email today. Gracias.